Okay, we are recording. Today is the January 9th, 2023, from the Township Planning Board Annual Reorganization Meeting. I'd like to ask everyone starting for flashing. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This is an in-person public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Clinton, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, in that an annual notice was published in the Huntington County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting is posted on the bulletin board inside and at the front of the municipal building. In fact, the Huntington County Democrat, the Express Times, Courier News, the Huntington Review, and Star Ledger, no later than Friday prior to the meeting. So, I am but in any event, at this point in time, we would ask for nominations for our chairperson for 2023. Aversa?
Here.
Ms. Butcher?
Here.
Mr. Lason?
Here.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Ms. Johnson?
Here.
Ms. Cunningham?
Here.
Mr. Malay?
Here.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
And Mr. Finette?
Here.
Now I know what the problem is. I'm reading my notice from the minutes.
Like, wait a minute, I've got the wrong names on here. How could this be? Because I went through all this.
Hold on, give me a second.
If he doesn't hurt me, I'd like to nominate Mr. Semay to the chair again.
Second.
Are there any other nominations? No other nominations? Okay. So I have a motion then to appoint Mr. Semay as chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Lason?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Ms. Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Malay?
Yes.
And Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And now the
opportunity
over to you.
Thank you. Well done. I like when you do that.
Oh, thank you.
Now we have the vice chair. Our nomination for vice chair.
Well, because he doesn't kill me. I think
I'll second that. Is there anybody else? Any other nominations? Roll call or vote? A motion to vote on John Higgins as the vice chair.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Yes.
Mr. Lason?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yeah. Yes.
Ms.
Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Malay?
Sure.
And Mr. Sedani?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
said, congratulations. Send back to me.
Those are very comfortable.
And we typically do the vice chair pro temp, which is the second vice chair for that case we need.
Mr. McCaffrey's new to the board, but he's been distinguished for the adjustment chair for the long time. I think he'd be a great person to be the pro temp.
Any other? The motion to elect Mr. McCaffrey as vice chair pro temp.
So
that'd be a motion, I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes. Thank you. All right, so we have, next up we have some of the, this is mostly just the new business setup, so this is the appointment of the professionals. When John Drill is here, he usually lets us bundle quite a few together. Can we propose to do that? We'll see them. I'll read them off for the record. I think we could probably do most of my all of these as one. Anybody has any concerns? So for the sake of good order, I'll just at least read the area and the name. For attorney, it's Jonathan Drill. Conflict attorney, Jay Bowman. We have architect. We're going to look into that, but for now that's open. Engineering expert, Larry Clevier. Traffic expert, Larry Clevier. Lighting expert, Jason Harkins. Conflict engineering expert, Tony Hajar and Juan Hajar. Planning experts, Joseph H. Burgess and Tom Behrens. Landscape architect, Jim Mazzucco. Conflict landscape architect, John Morgan Thomas. Environmental expert, Jeffrey Keller. Geology and hydrology expert, Matthew Mulhill. Wireless communications expert, Charles Hecht. Board stenographer, Jacqueline Knapp. Secretary, provided by the township, Denise Villardo. And the newspapers for publication of legal notice, the Hunterdon County Democrat and the Star Ledger.
Can I just ask a question about the Democrat? I'm not sure it's a real paper. It doesn't, as far as I know, print. And it's basically...
No, it does still print on Thursdays. It's only once a Thursday.
Yeah.
It's back to just Thursdays.
There's print edition. Was there a year ago at that time?
Yeah, I've often thought the same thing.
I think we used the review as one of the ones at council.
We said it to them, but we don't publish it. Yeah. We publish it to Democrats, so... I think that's the difference.
Do you remember what you publish in when there's things?
I publish in the Democrat.
In the Democrat.
Unless there are things that require the certificate we're using right now, there are a couple of things that require publishing in the newspaper.
You use the review for that?
I think in the past when I remember asking this, it was a question of these are like the two official ones. If you add more, it makes you have to use them all the time. Because if you look at the front page every day, we talk about it was faxed to the Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Review. But we do that not because we have to, because we choose to.
Okay. And we want to keep this for the ledger for sure, because it's a daily.
That's absolutely understood.
Okay.
We could maybe we go with it, but we can ask when we
Mr. Drill next time.
Yeah, no, I just wasn't sure if it actually,
next
you know, section. Paper
views it better, provides better coverage.
It's more red.
It provides coverage, actually.
Let's go with that. Well,
we could change it for everyone, but maybe next year, or do it a mid-year change. We'll talk to Trisha.
We'll talk to John.
Yeah, see if he has a
right. Yeah.
The daily part is the new part.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so pending potentially looking at it differently again, those 16 items, does anybody have any concern with any of them?
They're all carry forward experts. We've had long experience.
Yeah. They're all, looking down here, they've all been existing experts.
They've all served by them.
Yeah, HR is the only one.
He's the only newest one that we just did.
Qualified,
And, you know, John is one, you know, quite a long experience in Lexington.
All right, so if that's in order, or there's no concerns, is there a motion to appoint those professionals and the secretary and the newspapers?
With the newspapers under the continuing attorney's standing.
No, I would just say let's do these two, but then let's look at it separately, because we could always add to that.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second. Thank you, Mr. Glazer and Mr. Aversa. Roll call.
Mr. Aversa?
Yes.
Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Mr.
Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Steinhardt?
Yes.
Mr.
McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr.
Bellet?
Yes.
Mr.
Smith? Yes. Thank you. We have the approval of the 2023 calendar, which was previously distributed. It is for the most part the first and the third Mondays, although there are a few months where it's there's either one because of a holiday, and there's one case where that's really it.
Yeah, this year
we didn't move any off of, right.
That happens sometimes in December.
Right.
So that we can get the one eventually on the holiday fall.
Not other board. Sorry. So, any concerns with the calendar? If not, is there a motion to approve the 2023 calendar?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. So Mr. Higgins made the motion and Ms. Kleinhan seconded it to approve the calendar.
Okay, so we're going to do this a little different. And just remind you that Ms. Johnson is also one, who needs to reverse that with question number two. So, since we're going to go to Ms. Johnson tonight and not Mr. Reverse. So,
I just wanted to think about it.
That's all I need. You're right. It's the call, right?
Maybe it's wired today, because I didn't mean to get the text message.
Yes.
Yes.
If you would.
Johnson?
Yes.
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 Mr. Mullet?
Yes.
And Mr. Sinai?
Yes. How, next up, we have the 2023 approval of the 2023 rules and regulations.
And there are no changes from that matter.
No.
According to Mr. Bell. As there's no changes from this
Any questions or concerns? If not, is there a motion to approve the 2023 rules and regulations?
I am eligible. I will first.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Ms. Feinman?
Yes.
Mr. Cochran?
Yes.
Mr. Lamar?
Yes.
And Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
Vouchers, they were previously distributed. I think there were a few in there, Denise, that were
two from
that. It said Board of Adjustment on there, so.
I was wondering what that one was. I thought it was really.
So, excluding those, there were a few in there. I've reviewed them. I'm okay. Right. I'll make the motion. Is there a second? Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. Roll call.
Mrs. Laker?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
I'm going to abstain.
Ellen Cuthbert? Thank you. Mr. Levine?
Yes.
And Mr. Chanel?
Yes.
Mr. Harris?
Thank you. We have meeting minutes. I printed them out the other day. November 21, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the November 21 meeting minutes.
Yes, and Mr. Blazer gave me earlier today a suggested correction rewarding on their rewarding customer update, which they did make that change.
So, is there any other questions or comments or concerns with the those minutes of November 21? If not, is there, you see the eligible members on the agenda there. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
I make the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans.
One second.
Thank you, Mr. Blazer. Roll call.
Mr. Blazer?
Yes.
Mr. Lindy?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Malay?
Yes.
And Mr. Johnson?
Yes. And I think the 18th we're going to carry. Did you get those?
I ended up changing the agenda because I didn't know.
Okay, I printed out a previous one, so it's fine. Okay. We have two resolutions. The 2023 OA resolution adopting emergency remote meeting protocols, procedures, and requirements for public participation at remote meetings. That was pre-distributed.
I think it's only a copy.
I think it's the same
standard language,
the standard,
young special.
Yeah. Any questions or concerns? If not, is there a motion to enact that resolution 2023-OA?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Glazer. Roll call.
Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Mr. Lincoln?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinman?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Malay?
Yes.
And Mrs. Chen?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
Thank you. And the second one, it's similar to 2023-OB resolution establishing meeting schedule for 2023. And this basically allows WebEx for meetings if needed based on the pandemic or other reasons. Any concerns with that one? I think that's a similar non-original artwork. So is there a motion to...
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mayor Molay and Ms. Johnson.
Yes. Mr. Lester?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Now that we're done with the downloading stuff, let me just ask a question. It's a real small thing, but tonight I've come, instead of downloading the material, I was printing it. And the files on Box are not zipped on Box. They're just printed native. Well, I just hit print, make them out. So.
The original file?
Yeah. And is there a reason why we zip them? Because when yours truly extracts them, at least, I end up with
another.
Yeah, Box does. But is there a setting where we could just download them from PDF?
It just.
Well,
if
they're not.
Click download on it.
They're downloaded. They're uploaded in native format. If Denise uploads in Excel,
when you download, you're getting Excel. If you download the whole folder at once, Box will zip them so you get them all. And then when you unzip them, each of the constituent files will be in its native format. So you'll get one Excel, one Word. So if she uploads in this Word, you're getting this Word. If she uploads in this PDF, you're getting this PDF.
So it's a file by file.
Oh, right.
See, I just download the whole thing.
I thought there was a little dial, so I'll just download them individually. Download the whole folder and then unzip the whole folder on your PC. Then they're in the formats that you're.
Oh, it's that part's easy, but it unzips into a subfolder of the folder. So in order to put it back, I have to go two folders up and put everything in proper order for my I forgot the name.
I think the format should, for me, it's to she's putting them each by application. So everything related to, you know.
No. The way they exist in the Box is just fine.
It says format.
It's just when I download the whole message once, it's
the OCD.
And it's just a pain to kind of reassemble.
It should unzip into the same constituent structure.
Well, I downloaded into my storage thing on the iPad that's for this meeting.
Yeah.
And so I get it downloads as a zip file folder,
right.
And then it extracts into a file folder below that. So then I've got to push everything back. So it's just my housekeeping thing. I thought that would be a ideas. Just a
switch. Just don't create a folder on your. Go one folder up when you unzip it, and it'll be in the right place.
All right.
If you're stuck, call me.
I know you do.
Exactly. And we're going to try this time when we get to some of the exhibits. Save them so we know what they are.
Sure.
Or something. Because some of them just say,
and it's especially with the more professional.
That's the one where
some of them will put landscape or lighting, and some of them won't.
Yeah, just a bunch of numbers.
So I just put it up in that format, but what I'll do is I'm going to speak to them.
And there is a thumbnail.
If you're ever stuck, there is a thumbnail.
Right.
You can actually see the front, essentially the front cover.
Yeah.
And that part I never knew either. I'm a lot of terrible this stuff.
Anything further on that?
So before we move to the next reports, I noticed there is somebody here from the public.
Yeah.
And there isn't anything or a public, but. So they want to say something. Thank you for coming out. Thank your reports. Yeah, we probably should. We have the ordinance subcommittee every year, and it's really an ad hoc. We set it up here, so we probably should do it again for the year to kick off. We usually just ask for couple of volunteers, less than a quorum, so we're three people basically. Looking for volunteers too, who can do it. So
just to explain, what are we talking about?
This is just like ordinance stuff. It's usually been things that come out of the zoning board or items we've identified here.
If I may, I think we had two last year. One was a little less active. I'd like to recommend that we also have one for the architect search. I for the ordinance committee, I'd recommend Mr. McCaffrey, Mr. Blazer, this year, Mr. Hagan, that they've done.
Yep.
Especially these two gentlemen have done a lot of work, and I think Mr. McCaffrey has a really good experience and a lot to add for the ordinance subcommittee. And we're limited in the number of people we can have for the work. But I do think we need another committee board for the market.
Mm-hmm. So are you guys okay with Mr. McCaffrey and Mr. Blazer or Mr. Higgins being the ordinance subcommittee? That's the ordinance subcommittee. Yeah. We've had it for several years. They just...
Amen.
So is that good? Should we... how about we do an all in favor? Any concerns?
And you can do that.
Well... And that can make you want to do it?
No, please.
I don't think we have that in the past.
Right. And I think it's a good idea. Well, congratulations, you recently. I know that's a lot of work. And I think Mr. McCaffrey will bring a good perspective and have the zoning board experience. You know, Mayor Mick is a good point. We do need to look at an architect. So I'm happy to do the same thing. Want to get a little subcommittee to look at that. I see Mr. Urbessa, I see Ms. Johnson. Is there another person on there that there's any person that wants to?
Well, can I ask the chair about your name? I promise you don't have to share it.
Okay. Then,
yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of names out there.
Good. So three of you okay doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Same thing. Anybody have any concerns? If not, we'll approve both of those slates of subcommittees.
The intent of it to create kind of a subcommittee architectural review board.
I think at this point it was more just to go help. Let's find the professional kind of writing.
Architects have been sometimes problematic in their attitudes and things. So he doesn't turn over.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Now let's do a couple of reports. And I may mix it up a little bit just for, is there a council report that we want to share for the year?
We had a reorganization. I don't think there was anything. No, you know, you're right.
Probably worth it.
And since you recalled it, I'll let you mention it.
Who's doing
the ordinance subcommittee? Is that you?
Yeah.
All right, then I'll
do this. Thank you.
Very briefly, the only real item of business aside from the typical professional appointments and board appointments that you take care of, John Drill offered his services pro bono to write a permanent report for a lawsuit that is making its way through the court system against the governor of New Jersey, requesting that the court compel him to appoint members to the Affordable Housing Council, Council on Affordable Housing, which had not been appointed for probably since Governor Christie was governor, and earlier than in his term, I think over 10 years. How was supposed to set all the rules, the guidelines, the target numbers for affordable housing for each municipality, and has not done so, so we're both in stuck in the courts. I think we all feel very strongly that the current system is broken. So we did authorize the township to sign on to that brief in support of urging or compelling the governor to take some action to make appointments. Not selecting who's going to be appointed, but put some folks on. And again, John felt so strongly about it, he's not charging. He still is in other towns also. So we're not trying to move lawsuits for his charges. So that was that. And I think we have some business coming for us in the next few months, a lot of which is going to order to make sure the ordinance subcommittee, which is really important stuff that didn't work on the UCM.
Because he's got a longer one, let me just take a few out of order. Is there anything from environmental?
Yeah, there was mention of, so we found that application that came through.
Yeah.
And there was commentary about that application going through for review and consideration through the EC. Which it was noted that it was historically done, but it has sort of fallen to the wayside. So it was duly noted. So I said, okay, we'll raise that to the planning board. And maybe, just maybe, there is additional transparency to be built on the scope of application that should go, because in the meeting, they were all of the collective view that that should be happening.
This came up when I was on a year or two ago, and I explained to them there is a process, there's a, you know, what gets sent to them. You should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't. I think it's incumbent upon them, this is my view, to respond timely, so to speak. years ago, they always had, if you were fortunate, they had an environmental professional who did this for their data. There were two or three of them.
There was some mention of that, and they said that they hadn't seen anything in about a couple of years.
So
I said, okay, fine then.
I think what we need to do is make sure we get it to them with the timing of the other professional reports. But they have to turn around if they want to be heard at the same time frame.
The Environmental Commission will receive the submission at the same time as professionals, or they'll get it at the same time as users?
They'll get it with the professional submission.
That's not clear. So when an application first comes in, it doesn't go to everyone.
Right.
It comes to Larry and myself to complete it.
Right.
So
Larry,
professional that goes to everybody. So it's Larry and myself. Once it's being complete, then it goes.
After, a date for the hearing, when all the reports start coming,
That should be the normal cadence and the normal process.
And I wonder if it was going through the right person.
A year ago, that was when I was the liaison, and I was on it. That was one of the problems. It was going to somebody who left. And then it gets to the question of what goes there. And I believe if you read the ordinance, it describes what goes there. So it's really like land use approvals, or it's not
new development proposals.
Yeah, I think that's what.
But then also, what is the protocol around it once they get it? To your point, completeness has been, what's the expectation? Do we have that written down anywhere? They were just of the view, the process isn't being followed. And I said, okay, well, do we have it written down?
It is. If you pull the ordinance that supports the
scenario makes sense.
Right. And there's statute, too, as far as how quickly the planning board has that.
That's good transparency.
For building for everybody. No, I agree. I think there's a little bit of a, let's talk honest about it, too, a little bit. We have an environmental professional, too, that you pay to look at.
And which I did mention.
So I don't rely on them. I want their input, but they're not our paid professional. We certainly want to listen to them. And so in the past, they have done that as well. They've opined sometimes, but other times they've not felt the need to opine. It's up to them to some extent.
But there isn't an approval process. It's more consultation.
Their, because they're residents and they're on the environmental commission and we want to hear their concerns. But that's where it a little bit gets into what's their role versus the environmental professional role.
That would be
good
to get that. Yeah, I think
I think we should pull the ordinance. Yeah. And
I think she was referring to natural professionals, but I think it's pretty obvious.
Oh, I thought you were referring to the two between these.
The professional process and
We have the process in the land. Denise can tell us that it's being complete within.
Within 45 days, unless then if not, then.
Right. But then once it's deemed complete, then we send it out and we get into the whole notices and the reports, right? Reports are due for how many days before the.
The applicant has to. Being deemed complete a minimum of 21 days prior to the hearing.
Correct.
I'm just hearing, sorry, Ms. Bridget, your request on behalf of that committee as transparency being one of your people, right? That can be established for the public of what is the process. There's nothing simple we can't lie. Well, I think I'm also conscious or sensitive to the cadence we have with the Environmental Commission, which is once a week, right? So if you have an application, once a month, excuse me. So you have an application that's completed, and then we know the days at which it needs to be turned around.
Right.
To the extent that period isn't frequent enough,
That's what's happened a lot in the past.
Because there's only 21 days.
Just want to be seen doing the.
So you can definitely find yourself where you don't have enough time to review it.
I see.
And then what happened in the past was somebody or a subgroup of the EC was writing something up, but they were submitting it without telling the others because they didn't have time because of that cadence.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when it sort of stopped because it became a party of two or one. Mm-hmm. One.
And it was in the name of the committee.
In the name of the committee. Mm-hmm. So the cadence is exactly what's been the problem, is they do it monthly. But I'm all open for having and getting their input. I don't know the best way to, maybe we can just pull out those couple of that.
Well, we won't send in, like, the site plan waiver.
Yeah.
That's not application.
It doesn't matter.
But, you know, if we were to provide the application sooner than the application being complete, I'm not comfortable with that because
no, we can't,
very
no,
often the application changes. Mm-hmm. And
right.
At Karen, that one seems to point Crown Veterinary, there were about four changes to the plan.
Some of which
the
happened
application
here.
Before the, before the
night. We absolutely can't do that. It's a question of, like, what's the process? Once we get it, what do we send? Who do we send it to make sure it's getting to the right people over there?
Yeah, well, I mean, in the past, it was the chairperson, so that would be now.
I think unless we should look at, maybe a follow-up to look at for the next meeting.
Well, that
work back. Is that what the what's the procedure? And the,
well, there hasn't been an application.
No, I'm just going to.
Yeah, I don't know. Without looking at the ordinance, because it may say in the ordinance, does it? I mean, I don't
know. No, actually, I just pulled it up, and what it says is, whenever an environmental commission has prepared and submitted to the planning board an index of the natural resources of the municipality, the planning board shall make available to the environmental commission an informational copy of every application for development submitted to the planning board. Failure of the planning board to make such informational copy available to the environmental commission shall not invalidate any hearing or proceeding. Now, another thing is, on every agenda, there's a box that takes you to all the materials for the application. That's what we're looking for.
There is an environmental commission email address, as opposed to an individual email address.
Yes,
so Mario uses it, but going forward, that will ensure that it is to share all the Mr. Jackson.
Okay.
Motion. Mr.
No, I think just as long as we reestablish that process, right, and then we make sure that we're coming back on time, right, and we have transparency around this, the days that you have to follow, the days at which these meetings take place, which is once a month, and that we make sure we cross over. Right.
And when you think about it, in order to get us even 5 days on the plan, the time to act with it, the environmental commission is about 2 weeks.
Theoretically, we meet it twice a month.
Environmental commission?
I mean, a meeting can be called, right? We've had, well, that's team meetings, just to say there's an application.
So bear in mind your concern commission, and you can make sure they're going to talk about the proper news report.
That's a $40.
Sure.
But that's what I'm talking about, the whole administrative protocol that you have to follow, between getting the application, notices, all that sort of stuff, convening people at a time convenient so that everyone can actually listen to the meeting.
It's probably easier to schedule twice a month meetings and cancel some of them.
As a placeholder, right?
Let's make sure we do it.
Better to have a meeting canceled and say, normally expect that once a month we'll have the placeholder in case there's a.
So what I'll do going forward then, and this is for the zoning board application as well, correct?
Application for development is what it says, right?
Exactly. Yes, I think it's
So what I will do is when the application is complete, when I send it to professionals, I will also send the box to the city.
To the, to the,
to the email.
You see. And Council President Strauss and I met with some cups to ask for in this room.
Yeah, my son included.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday.
Yep.
Just like so long. I had a lot of sausage.
And
one of the things that he mentioned, which is very good,
yes, exactly,
was thank you for bringing it to our attention, because we don't know what's going to impact the attack. So,
do I suggest maybe that the report of our environmental expert be sent to the environmental commission as soon as it's available? I mean, normally we would get it, of course, before a meeting. But is that shared with the environmental commission as well, or not? Or should it be? Maybe it shouldn't be.
Well, it would be. Okay. So
it goes in our box later.
Right, but I'm going to give them access to the same box.
Oh, that's right. It's the same thing, yeah. Because it's all there and they access it. So once
right.
it's there, it's you.
But if I give it to them 21 days prior to the meeting, there aren't going to be any professional.
Right, not until then. Right. They can look later and say, oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. They can keep going down
there. And Mario, he'll look at the comments together from the commission and then be able to compare their concerns with our environmental professionals' concerns and probably mitigate some of the more lay people concerns in that kind of a time frame.
Well, that's a good meeting with the scout that provoked an odd, interesting dinner time chat amongst my boys.
So,
because they came for the showing for Exxon.
Oh, they were in the back?
Yeah,
oh,
and they're like, Mom, what's going on?
Bob.
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob. We'll pick a meeting.
Yeah. Sounds like
he does pick the better meetings. Quite by answer.
Good. Thank you. Good. That was a good discussion. Historic.
The latest update we have is that we're going to break season, right? Which means that there's a lot of incredible.
She's taking notes.
I have to take notes.
Oh, yeah.
So, on the reporting, we need to check that the Vice Chair, Historic Preservation Commission, we are going into grant season, which means that there have been a lot of incredible opportunities for the township to apply on behalf of or apply for kind of, you know, state, local, county, municipal moving efforts associated with a lot of the properties that in general are, you know, deemed valuable to residents of the town or to the township or whomever. That is going to be an ongoing process. There are a lot of applications I have seen for grants that have come in, and I know that Mayor Millay had mentioned a few months ago, prior to being in the last few meetings, so last one, quite some time, that we were in the process of potentially paying a grant writer on board. So I was curious if we have any updates on that.
I don't believe they're fully on board yet.
Okay. But are we moving forward?
Yes, we authorized it.
We need help.
We have to get setting it up. It will be selective. It will be, if I had to guess, determination, because there is an expense to it, which grants to authorize the grant writer to work on, probably initially at least, join up with the administrator.
Okay. I understand. And there are two or three pretty big opportunities that we have. I mean, it is what it is. You apply for it, you get approved, you get through. But the general time frame for all the deadlines lies between March 1 and the last day of April.
Okay.
In 2020.
Send them our way as soon as you can.
And that's
good. And then real quick before anything, open space. Anybody from open space?
Right here. We're in the middle of kind of budget season, so we know what we're going to be spending on 2023 year. Other than that, really not a whole lot.
Cool. We saved the best for last. Yeah, so it's fine. There's a lot going on, I think. I know you guys have been doing a lot of work, so thank you in advance. But
well, it's time to chime in.
I have to say something about it. So, to Kevin's point, there's a lot has sort of come together after months and months we've talked. in the past about sort of three initiatives. I think we last talked a little bit in November about this. I'll kind of go, I'll call it easiest to hardest, but maybe
just most not less. Center.
Yeah, I mean, so there's two that have been in the works for kind of months, maybe actually Highland Center for years, I would say, actually. Mm-hmm. So the township applied to the Highlands. Once we opted the Highlands, we have complied with all the Highlands requirements. There's what I'm going to call a little bit of a relief valve. Yes, that allows a municipality in negotiation with Highlands, I think it's fair to say, mm-hmm. to designate areas where we're allowed to do development. So we're allowed to kind of opt out to some degree from some of the Highlands requirements. So the township has been involved, Tom Behrens and John and others, for years with the Highlands. And now that's finally come to pass. The Highlands has approved two Highland centers for Clinton Township. And John has had some nice maps to show that. So broadly speaking, the two centers, there's one that goes along Route 31, and this actually, it follows our master plan in the sense that we've always said we want to have our development along the highway corridors of the township. From a Highlands perspective, though, the other spin is it's got to be an area served by sewers. So although development on 22 would sound good, no sewage, that's not really for us other than Highland Center. The Highland Centers we're talking about essentially goes around Annandale Village, kind of goes up, includes Headley Farms, goes all the way down Beaver Avenue, up to the middle school properties. And that will allow more development along Beaver Avenue that would have been precluded under the Highlands Act. So it gives some relief from prime ground or recharge and stuff like that. The second development center goes from essentially along Route 31 from, I think it's the TD Bank site, all the way up to Marion's Corner, maybe 1 or 2 miles above mm-hmm. that. And again, it allows us to do a little more development along that corridor on properties that otherwise would have been more difficult to develop. So it's a, I don't know, what would you call it, John? A pragmatic approach to development from the Highlands.
Yeah, and the Highlands gets, I don't know, 95% plus of the township in, you know, kind of a very preserved state with very, very wide buffers along streams. And farmland soils and prime groundwater recharge soils and all that sort of stuff. But we try to focus development where there are public utilities. And their whole thing is based on a, for instance, receptive on nitrate pollution models. So currently, if you want to build a new house from scratch, you need about 10 acres. If you're on a forested lot, it could be on the order of 80 acres. So, and I think most people realize we need some reasonable percent, maybe half, 2%. The county certainly realized this a number of years ago, which is why there's a development function. A 1 or 2% rateable base growth or taxes slowly but surely, you know, go right through the ceiling. So it seems like a very good compromise where there are public utilities. It preserves the intent of Highlands, and that's to keep groundwater pure as we export it to the east, and at the same time doesn't unduly penalize, you know, townships that have agreed. In our case, 97% of the township is in the planning area, not in the highly restricted preservation area. So we voluntarily put 97% of the township into conformance with the regional master plan. So it's a good acknowledgement, and it's a helpful thing for all kinds of people.
So that's kind of initiative number one, but not going for a long time. The second thing that's coming to play, and I'm not sure I'll describe this also for Brian and John, so we'll recall, I don't know, a year ago, we looked at the growing application of Ingerman for what they're calling the Willows and Spruce Run site on Route 31 North, the North Hill Sherrod site. And they have preliminary approval. They've since acquired an extra lot adjacent to the lot they had. It's a lot, we all looked at the map of town and said, oh, it's like this little island along Route 31 that their parcel surrounded. Well, they've acquired the island. So that will help them in the development of that affordable housing development, allows them to push some buildings around. We don't know the application, but it'll allow them to better utilize the land, allows us to get rid of the little island, But nonetheless, that will require the affordable housing zone to be slightly expanded. I think it's 0.8 acres or something. It's a small parcel that just kind of completes the story. So it's not a super complex item, but it's an item that is part of our housekeeping we'll need to do. And all of this actually will come to pass in the next few meetings as a, what we've gone through in the past, a master plan re-exam. We'll have to look at some amendments to the master plan, amendments to the land use element, amendments to the stormwater element. That's driven by state law, more so than these items. So this is kind of teeing up what's coming next month. Mr. Barrows will have a bunch of documents for us to look at. And then we'll start some ping-pong with the council, where there'll be an ordinance that comes back to here for consistency review after we study these elements to make sure they work. The final item we have is a little bit longer. I think it was kind of like pulling string what happened. And we started pulling the string on Route 31, and then some other stuff started to happen. So,
of course,
by way of history, in the 2020 re-exam, we as the planning board committed to look at the development along Route 31. And those are on the board will remember. We did a similar exercise for Route 22 in 2021, maybe, is what I can't remember exactly when. In the re-exam document, it talked about consolidating the non-residential zones along Route 31. Funny, I've been totally talking to Regional Hitler, but we'll come back to that. It talked about prohibiting warehouse and distribution uses, explicitly prohibiting it, much as we've done along Route 22. Again, warehouses distribution is not a permitted use in any zone of the township, but this will explicitly prohibit it in this corridor along Route 31, sort of a belt and suspender strategy. There are a couple other items in the master plan exam relative to Route 31, but not the scope of the ordinance subcommittee. They're really matters for council, so we put them aside. Nonetheless, as we looked at Route 31, it quickly became apparent that looking just for Regional Hitler was like maybe only a third of the story, that we really need to look at the entirety of the corridor because there's such overlap in the zoning. The preponderance of the map that John so helped me print it out, when you kind of follow up along Route 31, the bulk of that corridor is either in an OB1 zone or a C1 zone. So where we started was they're consolidating these non-residential zones. Well, it made sense if they're doing for a portion of 31, you really need to look at all of the 31. That was sort of the first takeaway from it. So as we do that, we also have to think about things like these pending Highland Center designations are coming in. We certainly have in mind that there are certain Highland development constraints along the corridor. We have the affordable housing complex coming in. And then, there are obviously, things are already on Route 31. So we kind of thought about all these things. So we're going to come forward with a proposal that probably has a couple of developments. And if I forget one or misstated, please tell me, John, correct me. I would say the biggest thing that we're going to propose is taking what are now two separate zones, the OB1 and the C1, and combining them into one bigger zone. And the bigger zone would be, I'll call it highway commercial, but we'll have some new pithy name by the time we come back. We don't know what it's going to be. We haven't settled, but some nice name, imagine. And but what the zone would do is combine the uses of the two that occur. So I think the best way to call it is it becomes a more permissive single zone, where right now the OB1, for instance, pretty much allows everything you can do in the C1 zone, and adds data centers and telephone exchanges. So, by all means, why not allow those in that combined zone? The inverse occurs in the C1, and it allows some uses that you wouldn't normally have in the OB zone, which is kind of office building, but it's normal commercial uses. Restaurants, retail services, retail stores, I think bowling alleys, nurseries, one or two other little things. So we'll need to work through these uses and make sure everyone's comfortable saying, should all these uses be allowed along the entirety of Route 31, let's say. And I would tell you, they're mostly allowed already, so it's not that big a step further. It's just sort of a checkerboard now. Yeah, it's allowed on right here, but not right next door. And for whatever reason, zoning, it goes back many years, but it had to do with lot sizes or what have you. Again, I think the biggest change is it allows restaurants and retail use throughout the corridor, where that might not be permitted now, but in my view, it doesn't change much. Because the app.
It's very similar to what we did with Route 22, where the commonality CBOM,
right.
Where the, for instance, let me get this right. In the C1 zone, every OB1 use is allowed except for a data center,
right.
And a public telephone exchange,
right.
And a nursery school. So there's a lot of commonality.
Right.
The lot sizes are very similar. Setbacks are identical except for, I think it's 10 feet in the rear yard, 25 feet in the rear yard.
Right.
So it would seem, again, because for most of this area, it's not that we want a lot of development, but there are lots that are developable.
Right.
They're already, they've been restricted when we went into conformance with the RMP with the Highlands folks. And in addition, there's a very, very long stretch of Route 31, probably from about AH 7 zone south to the river, that where the Prescott Brook runs along the eastern side. And there's a 300-foot setback now. That's C1 stream first, but then there's a 300-foot setback for water protection buffers and islands. So there are very few easy development opportunities along much of that stretch. And by the way, we're planning on a work session at the next council meeting. We're planning for a meeting. Tom Burns will have a lot more detail, but Bill and I we can almost do this zone about looking at the zoning map. And we weren't quite sure, really how focused everybody is on the current zoning and why they might be changed. Some zones would be left alone, for instance. There's a village residential zone down by Patrick McGarren, New York. Those are very small lots, fully built out, small homes, no reason to touch it. There's a, I'm trying to think of some of the, go ahead.
The old, the former dance hall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With the parking lot on the other side.
And the people in the
correct. So,
and the paper street.
There is a paper street.
Paper street off. And if that, that's one that we didn't address at all.
It would make sense to erase the paper street. I mean, it was seen once upon a time, I guess, as another entrance to Patrick and Darren, but, everything that's going on with schools and guns.
Is it a VR? Is it a VR?
Or is it VR is the one along right along the highway, but
yeah.
I think it's across the paper street is a separate zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to look at the VR.
Yeah.
Right. One, I think it's a VR, and I think one is C1.
Actually, the Molasses Hill.
The school is an RC.
I wonder if it's an RC.
I think it's RC.
It is
RC. You know what? You should move that out of RC.
I don't know how to do it.
Well, we can add that to the list.
I
think you go to the detailed map.
Yeah.
You got a lot by lot.
Okay.
But we can add that.
We're just going to bring it up.
We talked about that street area.
RC doesn't make sense. Well, except for this, so next one's RC.
Is that what actually RC
comes?
I'm pretty sure it's the southern part of VR.
It might be VR.
It might be VR.
So maybe we have to look. I mean, it's funny. I don't think they'd be friendly.
Let's
gonna have to zoom in on that.
Yeah, we're going to have to look at the area.
We'll zoom in and we'll look at the lots and try to figure out.
We don't want to hurt anybody.
I have to admit, though, for purposes of exercise, we were pretty religious to say, if it doesn't touch Route 31, we're not looking at it. So now we're going to look at it. We just said, the second thing we do, so reversion zones is one proposal. The other proposal, of course, is explicitly prohibit warehouses, distribution centers. We talked about that a couple times here and early talk more.
And just for the record, it is for the public. It is explicit. It's not explicitly not permitted, prohibited.
Right.
It is not stated and thereby prohibited.
Right.
We are now just going correct, not correctly, but make it
abundantly clear.
We say expressly prohibited, the uses are incompatible and cannot be adequately supported. Language used all Route 22, we believe it
there are a couple of other small, which again is what we did on Route 22 with some minor cleanups. There's the zone in the village which could be improved, I think. It's OB2 on the south end, and up by the railroad station, there's a C1 zone, more appropriately OB2.
Is that where the
goal
is? And so what happens is if we extinguish the C1 zone and make the broader zone along the highway, if C1 no longer exists, we need to do something. And the discussion we had was, well, OB2 is really what works in the rest of the village. Where OB2 allows residential use, and then the other uses along, let's say, Beaver or something like that. Yeah. So it's a relatively permissive zone, but appropriate for the village, because it already exists in the southern part of the village. So that's one thing I think of. We are proposing that there's an area, if you look on the zoning map, at the very south end of the township, you'll see an OB1 zone along Route 31. That's predominantly the Arboretum and a couple of lots owned by the state that will never be developed. There are two commercial lots down there. We're proposing to extinguish OB1 in that area of the township, make it RC. The two existing non-conforming uses won't be impacted. Mm-hmm. But it's really recognized the reality that it's closer to RC than OB1. It will not be developed with office and business.
And besides that, as we proceed further south on the highway, Reddington is all residential. Kind of keeps that section of the highway in, this hard green city.
Yeah, very green. And there's between John mentioned the water buffers and some land owned by the state along there should keep it pretty green.
So you said, I'm going to go back to that for a very brief second. So what were the boundaries from the Arboretum?
Arboretum, there's two lots north of the Arboretum. There's a little residential lot and then the credit bank. So the credit bank is in there, residential lot.
Oh, is it the very... so I was looking at this open one that has court frame. There's one that's cut off at the bottom of my map.
I'm sorry.
I cut the tip of it.
Oh, sorry. So the very bottom of the town. Yeah. So it's really in south of Route 618.
I know exactly where it comes from. They're never going to be in there.
No, and that's sort of just recognized. I think it was one of those things like way back when they thought it could be developed, but it's a long time ago. We're also proposing, again, looking at enhancing development capabilities. We're looking at proposing that there's one parcel of course, Allison Road and Route 31. It's a 3-4-acre parcel. It's zoned ROM 1, but it's really probably not developable as a ROM 1. ROM 1 is like research centers and data centers and bigger uses. That parcel looks big on paper, but it's actually quite small when you look at some development capabilities. So we think C1 would enhance its ability to develop. I don't want to put a question mark in that about that.
It's encumbered.
It's encumbered by some high end stuff. So,
about 5 acres.
Yeah, I know Brian has entertained conversations with developers on occasion about it, but personally, it's been set fair for years.
We're currently investigating getting what might include an inside editor for them, but we're trying to get an appraisal. Potentially acquire open space, connect the greenway. It would fill in the gap between the high school and the park. And you could literally walk over
and use some weapons. Again, as we look at it all along the corridor, we're going to want to have a discussion about maybe a couple of new conditional uses. So again, conditional uses, it's not permitted, but under certain conditions. It's not permitted by rights, but it's permitted if you meet certain conditions. And the two we've been discussing, and will be open for the board's discussion next month in the work session, is allowing for gas stations in this zone, but with conditions that say you can't just build a gas station anyways. It'll be a gas station in conjunction with we'll work on this definition, a full-service convenience store, which would allow us
We know for years that people are trying, you can't get full-service grocery stores in the area, but what we could do is try to get these larger convenience stores, think about Quick Check or Wawa, where people could fulfill most of their basic needs without having to drive very far. But to attract one of those, we know we need to rely on that gas station. So it's a little bit of a deal we have to make. So that's one proposal. But again, we come with conditions that would allow us to target's the right word, to say what lots it would have to be on based on signalized intersections and the lot size and things like that. So we'll go through these conditions at this point. The second conditional use we'd like to think about or talk about would be perhaps the self-storage facilities in the township. They were prohibited some years ago in our zoning ordinance, and the Board of Adjustment had an application a while ago and had a suggestion while they're in the reports that we consider the use of self-storage in the township. And we think that could be entered appropriate conditional use along with very valuable property conditions again.
Yeah.
Is there actually one? Mm-hmm. Is that for adjacent to water plant?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it
was previously approved.
Yeah,
years
ago. I was wondering where that.
A different development.
I was wondering where it was at. I didn't know it was a different
address
than that
would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they stay tuned, who knows?
The conditions would be, high architectural details.
Right. And then the height variance.
The height
thing.
Yeah.
And the reason is they want to have, they want to be able to drive trucks in so that they don't have to drop off.
Oh, so they've got the slope and the back down. The average.
Yeah.
Okay. But and of course, entrance parking that in the back and some buffering in the front.
And it will be set back.
And the setbacks. So these are conditions we've talked about. Like all things zoning, because we're doing this, it triggers a few other things. We talked about the Annandale Village one. We have a definitional thing just in the code that in the CROM zone, we rely on definitions of the C1 zone, so we'll just have to rewrite the CROM. We'll cut and paste into the CROM language. It's a simple one. We'll carve out the Clinton Woods parcel from the European lot on the zoning map. That's just a zoning map cleanup. And then we'll do another clean up on the zoning map we've talked about. We won't create a new zone, but we're going to identify the open space in the township on the zoning map to make it more very green, different shades of green if it's owned by the township, the county, or the state. And I think people would be surprised with a lot of this space. We've identified Marassi, but there's just a lot of green.
Visually on the map.
Yeah. To help developers understand that that's kind of off limits.
Yeah. It looks like nothing's there, but...
But in fact, there
won't be anything.
Yeah, in fact, there's 25 acres of office space. So there's all these little moving parts that will come into a couple of documents from Tom next month for our work session. So we'll have some reviewing to do and some talking to do.
A
lot of good stuff. But as a good overview, this is what's coming up. Yeah. And good job looking for the law of coming into consequences of next up, trying to make sure that each change that you consider takes into account the ramifications and what else it takes.
Right.
And that's what the code has got so many. What's the word I'm looking for?
Codependencies?
Hyperlinks.
Hyperlinks.
I was thinking, you do an equation and an Excel formula. Mrs. Trisha is queen of the township attorney finding these, and she'll come and say, but we need to now do this. I know she's got like a special search.
And that's why the process is set up this way. The process is set up in such a way that really gets a thorough look, right? From the board to the council, back to here again to have another look at it after the council's had it whacked.
It's pretty interesting because we know the lay of the land here. The local condition is, I think, pretty low. And then Tom, as a planner, brings a really nice perspective on the way the town's become consuming situations and a professional perspective.
Just to toot our own horn a little bit, I believe a substantial part of this work is being joined by our members.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of it.
Island Center certainly is. A lot of really well.
They're not paying us, but
but this does take time for the planner.
Yeah.
I've met with Tom several times on this, and we
people, we've got a people ordinance project that's defining the duty to make sure it doesn't end up what we don't want. But this will knock off a slew of items from last re-exam. And again, with the process, we'll do the new re-exam, we'll do a work session beginning of February, there'll be public hearings beginning of March, and notices and all that, we can do this for us. And then, you know, if it's adopted, it's adopted. And then we
move forward. One item for your thought, and Denise can remember better than even I. One of the other to do is the Highlands Master Plan. If I remember correctly, this was not urgent, but I don't know where it plays in.
The Highlands.
The Highlands Master Plan. We had some emails from that. I don't think it had to do with the center. But you might need to ask Tom Barron's.
Oh, it's like Tom, but I talked to him. So it's separate from the Highlands.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, part of the stormwater element is adopting a couple of the Highlands stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So just a note.
Okay.
Yeah. It may be a. I had a room, so it may not be.
Well, we're trying to kind of scoop a lot up. I don't know if this will make us three ordinances or one omnibus ordinance, whatever she wants.
There's so much art down in Highlands. Maybe it's like a master plan, but it has a different nomenclature.
Art is like the Russian doll.
Pardon me?
Use the word art behind the
signs. So that would be all I had on for the background.
No, that's good. So there's a lot of good work that's been done. There's still some work to do, and it'll be a busy couple of months here to get this, working through the process.
Great.
Good.
For the work session that we're planning on, basically to discuss this in more detail, and Tom will give more of a...
Tom will actually... I'll just give the draft documents for us to read through.
For the master plan?
Yeah, for the master plan exam and the element. So ideally we'll have, working drafts to look to and give people a real depth to look at and say, well, I like this, I don't like that. Yeah.
Perfect. I didn't know.
Yep, that's the plan.
Right. Yeah, just want to get everybody thinking about it.
Yeah. There's kind of a lot to wrap
there's a lot to get your head right.
Yes, there is.
Tom has been involved for a couple weeks now. It's like...
You're thinking about it. As you're driving up and down even, or as you're thinking about this or looking
at it. If you think about self-storage, doesn't make sense where, how, what, exactly.
That's good. Very good.
All right.
Anything else? If not, I think that wraps up the first meeting of the year. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Always the guy on the end.
Kate's not here.
Move the chat.
Second. All in favor? All right. Thank you, everybody.
I'm so used to the roll call thing. Everything in council has to
be
it's almost easier.
I always usually at the end send to anybody opposed.